Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our story begins with Nathanael under a fig tree. People in prayer go under fig trees, and this is certainly what Nathanael was doing there. Fig trees have wonderful shade, and there is a rich tradition of Hebrews praying under them. Sometime after Nathanael's treeside devotion, Philip finds Nathanael and tells him they have found the Christ, the Messiah. That is what he means when he says, him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. And Philip goes on to say that Jesus was from Nazareth. Nazareth was a backwoods place, tiny, unassuming, and humble. Surely the Messiah would come from a big city, an important city, like Jerusalem, not Nazareth. It is for that reason most people would scoff at Philip's news. Don't you know, Philip, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Many would scoff, but not Nathanael. Nathanael asks, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Not in disbelief or as insult, but because he is a deeply pious man who knows the scriptures well, and the most familiar verses about the coming Messiah say that he is to be born in Bethlehem. But Nathanael hears those words of Philip, come and see. And he does just that. Then our Lord gives to Nathanael the most blessed compliment, a compliment that neither Paul nor Peter are ever recorded to have received. He says, behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Confused, Nathanael exclaims, how do you know me? Almost to say, how do you know what kind of man I am? I have never met you. Jesus replies, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael gets it. The only one who could see me under the fig tree was the one who was with me under the fig tree, God himself. Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Nathanael answered him in faith, and he answered him with a confession. Here we see that what you confess to be true, your confession of faith, is important. If Nathanael had only said, Rabbi, you are an excellent role model, I would imagine Jesus would have had something very different to say. Finally, Jesus says, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What a beautiful image. And why will Nathanael get to see it? Because he has the eyes of faith. Our theme for this morning is faith reveals the Son of God, and we who have faith will indeed see angels ascending and descending upon him in glory. If faith reveals the Son of God, then certainly unbelief will blind you to him and all the wisdom of God. Unbelief will blind you into thinking there is nothing beyond this material world, blind you into thinking money and comfort are the ultimate goal in life. It will blind you into seeing all this God stuff as irrelevant, intangible, incomprehensible, childish nonsense. Beloved in the Lord, don't you know, at this moment, tick, 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 angels circle round the throne of the living God, singing day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of Sabaoth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of Sabaoth. That word Sabaoth refers to God's heavenly army of angels. Truly a glorious sight. How quick we are to put that image of God's throne room In the same place, we put vampires and Jedi knights and magic and Neverland. They are not the same. One is historical truth proven by the empty tomb, the other sheer fantasy. God literally and physically entered this world. He has hands which can be touched, a face which can be seen. Irrelevant, intangible, childish, unbelief blinds. And what is the reason for his coming? A few verses earlier in John, we find that he comes to be the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness. He comes that you might not stumble in darkness, but see the world as it truly is, not with your eyes of flesh, but with eyes of faith. The giving of these eyes of faith is one of the key themes of this Epiphany season. In the English language, if you have an epiphany, you suddenly understand something, you suddenly see something you didn't see before. At your baptism, you had an epiphany. The faith he gave you there allowed you to see the world from God's infallible perspective. The waters of baptism gave you the eyes of faith. Do not shut these eyes of faith. If you do, you will walk through this life blinded from seeing the shackles of sin. Sin is always promising freedom, but it only delivers enslavement. When you're really angry at your parents or spouse or friends, you can let them have it. Be rude. Vent. Let it all out, and it may seem very freeing to do so. But take another look. Your sinful flesh has said jump, and you have said how high. Paul says in our epistle, I will not be dominated by anything. But when we do evil, we make the old Adam in us master. We become dominated by our sinful nature. See with your eyes of faith these shackles, and by the power of the Holy Spirit given to you in your baptism, daily put them off and glorify God with your life. Unbelief also blinds us from seeing the real purpose for the gifts we have been given. What gifts have you been given? Abilities, wealth, an education, cars, homes, ears to listen, eyes to see, feet to go. We're very possessive with these things, aren't we? It's my money, my home, my car, my free time, and I'll do with it as I please. Our Lord would have our eyes to be opened this morning with these words from 1 Corinthians. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Indeed, you were bought with a price. The greatest price ever paid, the life of God's Son. And since we are His, we desire to glorify God. One way in which you can do that is by giving your gifts back to God and those around you who bear His image. Why? Because giving is at the heart of love. A month from now, it will be the day after Valentine's Day. Your wife will not be speaking to you that day if you didn't buy her flowers. Why? Because she needs something pretty to look at? No. No. Because giving, especially sacrificial giving, is how love is expressed. Philip from our text, by God's grace, understood this. Philip knew that Jesus was the Christ, knew that he was the Messiah, and he knew that if he followed Jesus, he was serving God. He was loving God. Philip didn't use his life to seek his own comfort. He instead sought the comfort of people like Nathanael. He loved Nathanael enough to go to him and say, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." In other words, we have found the guy people have been waiting for thousands of years. How would you expect someone to react to a claim like that? Nathanael could have insulted Philip, shunned Philip, perhaps even could have had Philip punished for such an outlandish claim. But Philip did not let any of that blind him. His eyes of faith had seen the Son of God, and he wanted Nathanael to as well. By God's grace, may you be a Philip to a Nathanael this week and every week. Unbelief also deafens us from hearing the voice of God. In our Old Testament lesson, we are told about a boy named Samuel who was sleeping in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was. The place where he sleeps is the holiest place in all of Israel. It is the place where God promised to be physically located. The Lord begins to speak to Samuel, but Samuel, a boy who has served in the temple his entire life, doesn't hear. Why? Because no one had ever told him that God spoke there. But when Eli tells him that the voice he hears is the Lord, Samuel says in faith, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Samuel doesn't say, "Lord, I have saving faith. That's all I really care about. Would you mind keeping it down? I'm trying to sleep." No, faith always desires more knowledge of God. It desires more to know more of God's beauty and mercy and love and wisdom. Faith desires to see God. In this life only partially, but in the next, face to face. My brothers and sisters in Christ, that is why you have come today. Because of the faith that you were given at baptism, you, like Samuel, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Let me be your Eli and tell you that when God's word is read from that lectern, and preaching that is faithful to that word is done in this pulpit, you hear God speak. Just as surely as Samuel did. You don't hear a booming voice. You don't hear heavenly trumpets accompanying my words. But your ears of faith hear God all the same. And when your earthly eyes look around and see no one to comfort you, during the times in life when you feel most alone, may these words from today's psalm show you, by faith, our Lord will never leave you. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. And at this rail, all your earthly eyes see is bread and wine. But your eyes of faith see the Son of God coming to give you his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Your sins of doubt, your sins of unfaithfulness, your sins of selfishness and greed. Here he takes them all from you. In our gospel reading, Jesus promised Nathanael that he will see the heavens opened. In Holy Communion, your eyes of faith see our Lord opening the heavens to give you his gifts. And this Sunday morning, you look around and see a building at 603 Klassen Boulevard, the same one you have seen countless times before, doing the same old order of worship you have done countless times before, but your eyes of faith see at this divine service a participation in the worship of heaven. I said earlier that at this moment, tick, 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 the angels of heaven cry aloud around the throne of glory, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of Sabaoth." Well, so do we in a portion of the service called the Sanctus, which is the Latin word for holy. Think about it. At that moment, you and the angels of heaven who ascend and descend around the throne of Christ are saying the exact same words in praise to our God. This is why Pastor says right before the Sanctus, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying. And when Christians gather around a much more somber service, a funeral service, our eyes of faith will see through the pain which death has caused. And we will see the casket not as the end of life, no. We will hope in the resurrection which the Son of God, the King of Israel, promised us. One of those promises is found in our epistle reading for today. God raised the Lord, and he will also raise us up by his power. In conclusion, because you have been given the vision of faith at your baptism, the King of Israel and Son of God will bring you to his kingdom, where you will truly see the greatest thing of all, the very face of the living God. May he keep you in the one true faith until that day. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.